Let's just have a word of prayer before we get started. Lord, we thank you that you brought us here safely. We pray you'll help us to get home safely. Lord, we ask that you would be magnified here this evening. May the thoughts of all of us not be on the person standing here, but on the one who has called us all to this place. Our Lord Jesus Christ. And God, you're so great. You're so wonderful. Bless this little time together tonight, we pray. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, I'm never completely comfortable up here. But we'll just see where God takes this. My subject for this evening is forgiveness. It's something that we are not born with. That's not a gene that we have. We have to work at this. Forgiveness doesn't come easy. We have to make a conscious effort. And I would like to entitle this little talk this evening, If Ye From Your Hearts. And I think that I will begin in Matthew. I believe it's the 18th chapter, beginning with the 23rd verse. All the way to the end. Would you mind standing for the reading of this? This would be my text for this evening. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Excuse me. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after that he had called them, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredst me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You may be seated. What's happening?
We're coming across muffled, and I think it's because your car is blocking us. We're going to get you off.
All right. Is that better? Okay. Jesus starts this by saying, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king. We're not waiting to get to heaven for these things to play out. These things play out here. And these are things that we have to take account of ourselves. We have to judge ourselves. We have to find out where we're at. And learn how to forgive. Like I say, it doesn't come natural. This talk here this evening is the result of things that I have had to deal with in my own life, forgiving other people. And of course, the flip side of forgiveness is apology. You have to also learn how to apologize to people when you've done wrong. And I'm not going to spend any time on that this evening. I'm just going to stay with forgiveness. And I wrote down a few questions that I had to ask myself. And God places us in situations to see how we act or react to those around us. We always have to keep in mind that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Here's question number one. Do you view people as your enemy? I mean, do you feel like you have enemies in this life? Do you scorn those who don't have the same revelation as you do? Have you ever forgiven someone before they acknowledge their wrongdoing and ask for your forgiveness? Do you believe that forgiveness is given only after confession? Have you ever loved your enemy? Have you ever prayed for someone who used you or abused you? Do you know someone who, if their name is spoken, you get a funny feeling in your stomach? Do you go out of your way to avoid those who have mistreated you? These are all normal human actions and reactions. But we're called to a higher standard of behavior and character. Jesus forgave from the cross. None of us has been placed in that situation. Nobody has treated us so badly as he was treated. And yet he was able to forgive from his heart those who put him there. That's amazing, amazing grace. I'm going to, once again, do quite a bit of reading. And I'm not sure if the Lord will want me to put any special emphasis on anything. These thoughts are, you know, you do a word search, you do a Bible search, and you get all kinds of things. And so then you have to sort of kind of distill everything down to what do you think, like, you'd like to really say. Is there water up here? Yeah. Thank you. And so, some of these don't, you know, they're not always talking, not every one of these things addresses the same aspect of forgiveness. So it'll just be whatever thing that you can draw from it, you know, If you want all of it, take it. If you can only can handle a little bit, that's fine. This is from a sermon entitled Door Inside the Door, delivered by Brother Branham in 1958, 0209E. And this particular quotation or part of it is what Brother Green used to carry in his wallet all the time after a certain incident happened to him. So, but we're always glad to get them, always glad to do something to help someone. You know what a blessing is? Do something for somebody else. That's right. And if you have a neighbor or somebody that's done you an injustice, remember this for me. Don't never turn them down. Take him to God in prayer and see what a different attitude you'll have. If you're sincere in your prayer, you stand shoulder to shoulder with him, though he's done you wrong, an injustice, but you just take that man to God and stand there in the presence of Father one time and say, Father, my neighbor here has done me wrong. But I guess watch when you go to telling his wrong. It will not only help him, but it'll help you also. And you'll see what he's been through in the temptations and things. It'll change your attitude towards that brother, and it'll help him also. You always are doing good when you're praying one for the other. And Brother Green carried that in his wallet. Because a brother in his church, I'll just say it the way that he said it, a brother in his church cost his estate $264,000. And he gave this testimony in Wichita back in 2001. And every once in a while I take time out to review those. It's a really great testimony. And so he carried this in his wallet to remind himself not to get upset with that brother. He had to scramble. He had to sell some assets and try to make himself whole again financially. It was quite a hard thing. I'm going to double down on that. There's another quote here that says pretty much the same thing. And this is from a sermon entitled The Great Commission, spoken in 1958, 0301B. I don't know what the B is. Beginning with paragraph 12. And may I drop this little thing to you, brethren, as I know your different denominations. I think I've never talked like this to a group of people, but in this locality here, you and throughout the nation, it's becoming now. If the devil can keep us separated, he's got us shooting at one another. So he's got an open target anywhere he wants to shoot. And what's the use of shooting? We're shooting one another, see? So he can just sit back and relax. But did you ever, let me just give you, if I have found grace in your sight through God, you take my word for this, brethren. If you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, when a man has done you wrong and he is absolutely justly, I mean he has done you wrong, and you know that he's done you wrong, he's done you evil. Don't mention that. Don't mention that. That's hard. Most of us couldn't wait to tell somebody else when somebody's done us wrong. I'm guilty. You take him to prayer before God, and don't take it in a way of just a selfish way and say, well, I'm supposed to do this. But stand with your brother, shoulder to his shoulder. Stand in the presence of God, your Father, The way a prayer should be made in the presence of God, say, Father, here's my brother, and he is justly, he deserves punishment because he has done me evil. And I don't see why he did it. Then let God go to talking to you, and you'll see maybe what that man's been through. The devil has twisted him up somewhere, caused him to do that, though he's absolutely wrong. Before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother, shake his hand, because you know what he's been through. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe, no sir, even if he's a rank sinner. So, I mean, these things are hard. You have to really think about this. When you've been wronged, like he's talking about, you have to really want to forgive. And some people, some very famous people, have mastered that. Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy come to mind. Also the Wormbrands, Richard and Sabina Wormbrand. Their son's testimony was that the people who treated his parents the worst are the ones that they treated the best. They would even give gifts to people who treated them badly. And I think this is where we're called to. This next reading is somewhat on the same lines, but what I like about this one is the way that he's praying a prayer. This comes from All the Days of Our Life, spoken in 1959, 0612. And I like the way he starts his prayer. Gracious Lord, into thy presence we boldly come now, yet humbly, realizing that we have no standings at all, any merits that we could come this way boldly, but it's because that we have been asked to come boldly to the throne of grace. And we come in the name of him who bid us to come, the Lord Jesus. And we pray, God, that you will answer our prayer, and we have that blessed assurance that if our hearts condemn us not, that God will hear. And if there be anything in our lives that would be condemnation to us, then, Lord, first, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. But we know that he that told us to come said, if you from your heart do not forgive every man his trespasses, neither does your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. And therefore, when you pray, stand praying, forgive. Lord, if I have an enemy anywhere in this world, I pray, God, that you forgive the both of us, knowing that we are men, human beings, that's striving to enter the kingdom. Forgive us of our trespasses. We forgive those that trespass against us. That, if you just run over the top of that, it just sounds like poetry. But what he's really saying is that forgive us as we forgive others. In other words, we are only forgiven to the extent that we forgive others. If we only forgive others a little bit, we're only forgiven a little bit. If you forgive somebody all, you're forgiven all. So I think it behooves us to really think seriously about forgiveness. It's It's wonderful that we've been forgiven by Jesus Christ, but now we are asked to forgive in like manner. This next thing is, I'm not even sure why I put this down here, but I'm going to read it anyway because it's here and it's all good. Well, they say that's, oh, we believe in the resurrection of the dead. But now divine healing and other things, that's out. That's, Brother Branham's talking about, that's the way things are today. Why, it's the same devil. It's the same thing. See, now them, in them days, they said, talking about when Jesus was here, oh, we know he can heal, but he makes himself God when he forgives sins. Now that same devil just turned it right back around. Today he can forgive us, but he can't heal. If he is God, he can heal, save, forgive sins, or anything. He remains God the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's from a sermon entitled Divine Healing, spoken in 54:12:19 M, paragraph 236. This next one is from The Church and Its Condition, 1956-08-05, paragraph 137. How many here that's backslidden? Oh, you say, I wouldn't admit that, Brother Branham. But look, if that dove of meekness is gone from you, brother, there's something wrong. There's something wrong when you can't bear with one another. When you can't forgive every person from the very depths of your heart, no matter what they've done or what they've said. If you can't forgive them from the depths, Jesus said, if you don't forgive every man his trespasses from your heart, neither does your heavenly Father forgive you. So it's all kind of the same theme. Now this next one is interesting because it was Brother Branham was somewhere at a Lutheran seminary, and I don't know if this was in Germany or somewhere in the United States, I'm not sure, but he refers to the dean of the school as being a German, so I don't know if that means he's in Germany here, or I really don't know. But the what this particular thing is about is that, okay, as I said before, the flip side of forgiveness is apology, and this dean was looking for something, but he felt like he had to make an apology first. This comes from a sermon entitled Spiritual Adoption in 56 and beginning with paragraph 178. And they taken me out to the Lutheran seminary and set a dinner there where all the students and them teachers, and this was the dean, he sat by me, and we had dinner together, and they were German. And they had a great dinner set, and the ladies all waited on us and so forth. After the dinner was over, this Lutheran dean of the Lutheran college stood up and said, Brother Branham, excuse me, I brought you out here for one purpose. He says, that is, we want to find God in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I looked at him. I looked at Brother Moore. Brother Moore looked at me. He said, I criticized you, and I'm sorry. I said, Brother Branham, you're right, and I ask you to forgive me. And now we want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Said, we've seen a lot of kicking over chairs and tearing up things. We said, we want the real Holy Spirit. And I said, do you believe? I said, well, what's the Lutheran seminary? What's the Lutheran denomination? He said, we don't care what the Lutheran denomination is. We want Christ. And Bob Schuller and them, the editor of the Christian Herald and them, had just received the Holy Ghost, a bosom friend to Billy and all them. Them brethren are hungering for the Holy Ghost. And I said, he said, is it for Lutherans? I said, it's for whosoever will. Let him come. And he said, how can we receive it? I said, are you really sincere? He said, yes, Brother Branham, from the depths of our hearts. I said, what about you students? Every hand went up, tears running down their cheeks. We want Jesus. I said, move back your plates, take your benches, scoot it over against the wall. Each man did, all the way around. I said, now kneel down, turn your face to the wall, start asking God for the Holy Ghost. And I had Brother Moore to stand and pray, and I went laying hands on each one, and all 72 students and the dean received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they're shaking that country up there with the miracles and working of God. They're having healing services and everything. Lutheran Seminary. Amen. So, you know, we don't like to think that, but sometimes maybe if you're looking for something from God, but maybe there's something hindering. We don't know. I mean, this can happen. The next one, the last one here, I don't know where this comes from. For some reason that didn't print out. Let's find out what Peter did about the keys. See, then we'll find out. The Bible said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, go ye into all the world. Whoever sins you remit, to them they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, to them they are retained. That I might say it so that someone might not understand what I mean. Jesus said to the apostles, whoever sins you forgive, I'll forgive them too. And whoever sins that you do not forgive and hold it against them, I'll hold it against them too. That's what Jesus said. That scares me, personally. I don't want to be the cause of anyone. Have God be angry with them, or I mean, I don't even know if that's possible. Is it possible we can send somebody to hell by holding something? I don't even know. That's a frightening thought. I don't know what he's exactly saying here, but anyway, it's frightening. I have some scriptures here that I'm just going to go through quickly. You don't have to turn to any of them. This will all be on the tape. Hopefully it comes through on the microphone and we don't lose anything here. This is one that we have already. Matthew 6:15. Jesus speaking, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Mark 11:25, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So the idea there is, okay, if I'm praying and I have something against somebody else, my first action is to forgive. If I expect anything in this prayer. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Every time I think of this, I can't imagine. Beaten, bloodied, nailed to a cross, forgiving the very ones that put him there. That's grace, that's mercy, that's love. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. My next reference is to this book entitled Living Beyond. It's a compilation of people who have had near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences. Many of them claim to have traveled to a place that they describe as heaven or paradise. And some even claim to have spoken with Jesus. And there's it's written by a Christian, and he wanted to keep the Christian perspective in all of this. There are a lot of people who have had near death and out of body experiences who try to explain it in worldly terms. This author is trying to view all of this from a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective. And there's just a little area here about forgiveness as it relates to these experiences that people have had. Sometimes we feel it's impossible to forgive someone because of what they've done, such as a murderer or a torturer. Nevertheless, God expects us to consider Dr. Patty Wagner, a millionaire heiress and respected doctor who was kidnapped, treated horribly before being electrocuted to death by her captors. She met Jesus in paradise. These are her words. The Lord impressed on me that I should forgive all those who had been responsible for my kidnapping and murder. I could not understand this. Why? I said, if I could pray, I would be praying for myself. God said, if you do not pray and forgive them right now, then it will interfere with the work you and I have to do together. I said, Lord, I do not know how to pray. He responded, I'll teach you. He told me to say, God forgive them. They knew not what they were doing. We can take this with us throughout life. Anytime somebody crosses you the wrong way, you can remember back to this, say, I don't know why they did that. Forgive them, Lord. They didn't know what they were doing. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they've got a horrible life. Maybe they've got problems at home. Maybe they got problems at work. Maybe they got all kind of problems. We don't know anything about people. People sometimes, they get under pressure. They do things, say things. Let's not hold it against them. God forgive them. They knew not what they were doing. And if she really did meet Jesus, I can't say she didn't. I have to take this stuff at face value. But it would be so like him to repeat the word to her. This imperative to forgive is hammered home in NDEs. Our final example being the famous case, I think I may have read this before, but it bears repeating. Confirmed by witnesses and doctors of the return to life in 2001 of a dead Christian pastor, Daniel Ikechukwu, I'm not sure how to say that last name, in Nigeria, during a Reinhard Bonnke evangelistic campaign there, Daniel had been dead for 2 days. And despite rigor mortis, he was taken to the campaign for prayer from the mortuary in a coffin organized by his faithful wife, who believed that God had prompted her to do such a strange thing. Meanwhile, during his NDE, Daniel was shown that his future would have lain in hell, despite his dedication to God, because he had fought with his wife the morning of his death and had refused to forgive her. In fact, he planned to separate from her for 1 year. 1 Peter 3:7 confirms that unforgiveness of one's wife has the consequence in that our prayers to God may be hindered, which is what happened to him despite being a Christian leader. He was reminded that you reap what you sow. He had not forgiven her, so he would not be forgiven. Daniel wept. He was then returned to earth so that he would have opportunity both to forgive his wife and to warn others of the day of judgment to come. Bonnke makes it clear that he had nothing directly to do with the miracle. Others prayed over the corpse in the basement. A follow-up investigation in 2014 included interviews with the mortician, who had already injected Daniel with embalming fluid, and conversations with different doctors, the wife, and other witnesses. This investigation and others earlier confirmed this miraculous raising from the dead. Daniel's NDE was obviously designed especially for him to deal with unforgiveness in his life and thereby to empower his future ministry. Jesus taught Luke 6:37, forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgiveness of others was essential to Daniel's continuing relationship with God. Yeah, all the blood was sucked out of him. Embalming fluid was put into him. He came back to life. God is still God. It seems like I had more to say, but nothing's coming to me right now. And I don't want to drag this out just to fill up the time. I don't know what else to say except that I believe that we are all called to a higher standard of forgiveness, perhaps than what we've thought about previously. As I say, all of this for me personally is the sort of the culmination of many years of trying to through. I went through most of my life. I'm not proud of it. I took things pretty casually. In 1975, well, I gotta back up, 1973, went to a Billy Graham crusade, gave my heart to the Lord at a Billy Graham crusade on the infield grass at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds at the grandstand. But I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting into. I was raised Presbyterian, and they don't do that in the Presbyterian Church. But I felt God was calling me to something greater. And I was disturbed at some point in my young life with what the church was practicing and preaching versus what the Bible said to do. And so when we were given that opportunity to go to a Billy Graham crusade, we went, and my wife and I both at the same time. We didn't talk about it beforehand. We didn't know what we were doing. We were just kids. And when that altar call was made, we both rose up, went down there, and it was wonderful. But I had no idea. I didn't know anything about this message. I had no idea what I was getting into and what path that God had put me on. But I, even after accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, I didn't live a life where I was rebellious or acting out in different ways, but I just didn't get it. And it wasn't until much later in my life that I began to understand some of the depths of this precious word and what it is really calling me to. I had to go back and make some things right with other people, and I also had to forgive people for things that had been done to me or said about me or whatever it might have been. And to just say you're sorry never seems to be quite enough. Or to just say, I forgive so-and-so, just doesn't seem to be quite enough. But when it touches you on the inside, when you do take that person to prayer, when you do make a conscious effort to release every attitude, every bad feeling, every hurt, it's a wonderful thing. It's very liberating. It's very freeing. I stand here today, as far as I know, I don't have anything against anyone as I know of. And that's a good feeling. I hope I haven't offended other people and caused them any pain, because I never would mean to do that. And I just want to say it's been a great experience for me to know all of you, to be in this fellowship. You are the salt of the earth. salt and light. I know each one of us only desires to come up a little bit higher, and the way that we come up a little higher is to get down on our knees and humble ourselves. Doesn't make sense, but that's God's way. You want a blessing? Do something for somebody else. Let's pray. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I don't do these things justice, but Lord, I pray that something would have been said that would touch the heart here, prompted somebody what they might have to do in their own lives. I don't know. I don't have anything in mind toward anyone. But Lord, regardless, we can receive a blessing knowing that we have heard from you because we have quoted your word. And I pray that everyone here, everyone listening, watching online, will be able to take something from this that will help them in their walk. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Greg, can I turn this over to you?
Honestly, I feel and I believe that I'm standing on holy ground. I believe that this is exactly what the Lord wanted us to hear tonight. Thank you, Brother Ron. And I know Brother Ron's heart in that his attitude coming up, it isn't about him at all. His humility and coming forth and sharing this, it is an attitude of the heart. And I am impressed with the Lord right now. If we could all just stand to our feet, if we would. And let's just take a moment, you know, especially here we are at the advent of the new year. You know, if there's anything at all in our hearts that we have at all, to anybody at all, anything whatsoever, knowing that it hinders between us and God if we hold anything at all. Let's just at this moment, let's just bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's not look around, but just from your hearts, let's just think. Think if there's aught at all in our hearts toward anyone, any person whatsoever. And let's just take that moment even now, and let's forgive. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you now. We're just praying your Holy Ghost, the convicting spirit of your spirit, Lord, just come and move in our hearts. If there's any ought anywhere, Lord, that we have, we get an image of somebody and it just causes us to cringe or to draw back. Lord, knowing you called us to love, Father, forgive us, Lord, for falling so short of what you've called us to. Lord, I pray, granting us that grace, oh God, to forgive whatever that is, Lord. And it is grace, Lord. Father, how great your grace and your love is to each one of us, and how wonderful heaven is. And your prophet said, nothing but perfect love can enter there. Father, I pray that you help us. Lord, for that one that maybe said something that hurt, or maybe for that person that hurt someone else, Lord, and we took an offense, Father, forgive us. Lord, have mercy on each one, O God. Grant it, Father. Lord, forgive me for anything, Lord, that I might have held, even justifying myself, Lord, in doing it. Forgive me, Lord. It's wrong. Lord, every man before you stands, and every man, every woman before you falls, before their maker, their master. And Lord, I stand in the same position. And I pray, Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord, fill our hearts with forgiveness, fill our hearts with love. Lord, and if there's anything that we need to make right, Lord, you help us, the purpose in our hearts to do that, to not just follow through with, Lord, I forgive, to not just follow through with maybe some wrong, because even the Bible says that if your brother has done something wrong to you, if you've been wrong, you go to that one. You make it right. Make sure you're brother. So Lord, I pray you help us. Even Brother Branham says, if you have a funny feeling, to make it right. You don't have anything, Lord, in us or through us. Please help us, oh God. Grant it. Grant it. Grant it. Amen. 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 If you musicians could come. Amen. Amen. There's something when you make something right. There's something when you just go before the Lord in sincerity and you make everything as right as you know. You feel all kinds of cleaned out and scoured, and I sure want that, desire that, and I appreciate that. Amen. How about number 38, I am thine, O Lord. We belong to him. Amen, Brother Ron, thank you. That was beautiful. Amen. Amen. Draw me near.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and adore thy love to me. But I long to power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, my Savior, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me of a single hour that before thy throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me of love.